You've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL. Well, you know, as we progress through life, quality of life, our expectations, the possibilities for us, the things we can do, the things we should do, the things, maybe even the things we can't do anymore. And I've noticed in my own life, there are subtle restrictions on a number of things that I'm finding as I've progressed through my life stages, I really can't do. I was just thinking about riding horses, and I was mentioning to my guest, Birgit Pianozzi, today, that I gave up riding because I realized there was going to be a time where I couldn't get off the ground without having to go to hospital next, and I stopped. But Birgit, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, as we progress through life?
Our bodies change, our attitudes, you know, how we perceive ourselves as an aging individual, and it really, you know, differs from one person to the next. What we are capable of, also very different from one person to the next, and often I think it has to do with mindset.
I would totally agree with you. Now, you know, why am I talking to Birgit Pianozzi, especially about this topic? She's been a guest on this program before. You've been a guest. What is your area of expertise?
So I'm a gerontologist. I have a PhD in gerontology, and I'm looking at aging really from a positive perspective.
Which we don't often do, right? Yes,
so
you,
really,
you do that. Yeah. When I talk to you, you smile. When I talk to me in the mirror about aging, I tend to frown a little.
So I love older people. I always did since I was young. And you know, was always kind of not encouraged, but just eager to talk to older adults and hear what they have to say, especially women, because when I grew up, there were more women,
a man passed away
during the war, because I grew up in East Germany. And so, that has had a big impact on my, I think, on my interest on aging and what is, you know, what is possible, and just learning from older women, really the possibilities. It's you know, the German women that I grew up with, my grandparents and the women around me, older women, they were so knowledgeable and positive
wise.
In their advice, in their abilities as well. They were great because they were, you know, living alone most of them, most of their lives, had to raise children, work full time, do everything, and still, you know, they felt they had a good life.
I'm glad that you talked about possibilities, because really today's episode, I'd like to talk about the future, what I can expect, what you can expect, what we as a society, we as a community need. So let's talk, just if we could, you know, as we age, as we change, what about housing for starts? Is today's housing stock adequate for the changes we'll go through, the troisième âge? What do we have to do to adapt?
So I think you have to kind of take a step back and think about different generations. So right now, when we talk about baby boomers, boomers aging will have a very different housing needs in general needs.
They're healthier.
Depending on with whom you're comparing them with.
Yes.
So they're healthier than the generation before them, and they have a very high life expectancy.
Yes.
So if you look at, let's talk about baby boomers, because they are the older generation right now.
Thank you. Let's talk about them.
You're not one of them,
but I am.
Not yet. Never will be baby boomer, but I'm the next generation after that. But it's, you know, really thinking about, okay, we have a lot of older adults. It's a huge group of older people that are already entering retirement age, and that has been kind of, you know, really rushed. They have rushed retirement age because of the circumstances we were in. COVID, you know, has kind of pushed this generation into retirement because the circumstances were such that they might not have enjoyed their jobs anymore. That generation, very healthy, will have probably a very healthy lifespan until, you know, just before their last couple of years, when they might become dependent and more ill. So those people will very likely not be the ones who move into long-term care.
Exactly.
So I'm always very puzzled when we talk about we need more long-term care.
Oh, no, this is only 4% or something.
Yeah,
it's a very small number.
Yes,
but our homes have to change.
Yes,
we have to adapt to those changes. I was just in a house the other day that had a glass elevator between the floors. However much it cost, but it meant that they could enjoy their home.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the, you know, the government has introduced aging at home strategies. We are in Ontario, so we really promote, as a society, we are promoting older adults to age at home, or age, and we call it age in place, because it can be different locations for whatever you, you know, for you is the best place or what you prefer. But the environment is often not set up the way that it should be. So let's not talk about long-term care, because I really think that long-term care is only for those older adults who are very frail, and that's only is very, as
or
you
the
said,
last
very small percentage of older population. The majority is healthy, will be very healthy until the last couple of years.
You gave a talk exactly on this to CARP Sudbury about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Yes, with a slide presentation. It made so much sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's not talk about long-term care. But our homes, our bathrooms, our kitchens, our bedrooms, our entranceways.
The whole shebang.
Definitely.
Well, there's also other things that come into play when we look at other generations. So let's look at the younger generation right now, who cannot afford to buy houses, who are going to live with their parents probably for a much longer period of time. So the children maybe not of the baby boomers, but the, you know, a little bit the next generation, you know, so it will change. Our setup of families will change. People will have to live together for longer periods of time because of affordability. So that also will change the housing market. You know, how will we live? I think that in general, in North America, we expect to have our own houses.
Right.
I don't think that is really
realistic.
Normal
and realistic. Certainly not in Europe.
Not for sure. And so, you know, we have to change what kind, you know, what do we offer in our cities, what kind of opportunities
we'll
have for housing.
We'll talk about community and cities, but even the spacing between our houses in North America doesn't necessarily encourage you to help your neighbor as much as perhaps it does in Europe, where there's more proximity.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just thinking about all the things that go on. My mother, since I've talked to you about my mother quite a lot, the fridge door is hard to, it's like it's got a seal to it.
Design
and it's just so hard as you get older. Bottles that you can't open, jars that you can't open.
Yeah, companies and industries seem to be very behind in design for age-friendly equipment, you know, anything. Like, there are so much possibilities and opportunities for businesses to create age-friendly design or, things. And it starts with, you know, with little things like that. You know, how do I put on my socks if I can't, you know, if I have a hard time bending down?
How do I get the little tab off the toothpaste container that says little wee, it's very...
How do I cream my back if I, you know, if I'm alone and, you know, nobody can help me? So those, you know, very
And why is our washer and dryer always in the basement in most houses?
Yes, yeah.
Like, as far away as it can possibly be, as most difficult it can be, you know, why is our washer and dryer not close to our bedroom, where you create most of your... laundry.
Yeah. And, you know, I was also kind of thinking about the design of our cities in general.
Yes,
you know, we created those subsections where we have, you know, our single dwellings and we live in a, you know, nice neighborhoods, but there's nothing else. There's just houses.
Your boys or boy, at least one of them, worked just down at
Battistelli's,
the Independent. Would you be able to walk there from here?
No.
And
depending
yet,
on how you know, how I'm doing and what age I'm at.
But so a grocery store, well, we have grocery store deserts where there are no, or a public, now you've got a public library you can walk to. That's a community center.
Yeah, community center,
yeah.
Yes.
So we move out of the house into the community. There always were schools nearby, but maybe the schools need to be housed some of the things
some of the services that we need, you know,
like,
doctor's offices.
Like a lunch program.
Fitness centers, whatever, you know, like really looking at it from a perspective that an older adult can be very active, but they must have opportunities. especially in our climate in the winter. You know, how do I get during the snow time? You know, how do I get to the grocery store? Even if I could walk there, am I able to go there? Are the sidewalks plowed?
You
know, do I, you know, is it slippery? Are there even sidewalks? Are there sidewalks?
Yes.
Not just if they're plowed, might not even be, you know, we might not even have sidewalks.
Are we also too proud to ask a neighbor to help us?
I think that's a personality thing, and I think that it's also depending on where you live, in what kind of neighborhood.
Right.
But to give you an example, my grandmother, now she lived in Germany, she lived in an apartment building until she passed away. She was 87. And she wasn't, I mean, she was starting to get frail and had a hard time walking, but she lived on a third floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there was no elevator, so she had to climb the stairs.
But that probably kept her healthy too.
Yes. So there's also an upside to it, because she did have to take the steps. And, you know, she would, I mean, in Germany, we bike. In my hometown, everybody bikes. She would still have her bike. She wouldn't bike. She would use the bike to actually hold her up. So it wasn't it wasn't a bike where she wouldn't ride it, but she would walk with it, and it would help her to put her groceries bags on it, and so she didn't have to carry them. So it was kind of her,
People have trikes now too.
Yeah.
You know, so with a little basket at the back or in the front or a carrier of some sort.
Yeah.
So we've moved from the house to the community, you know, the more local community. What are the future municipalities? What does that look for an older adult? Well, how do they engage with municipal services? Are we doing a good job of it today?
So I think the move to the library centers to have most of the services in the library are a really great idea, because most older adults then are able to get to their local library and get the services.
And we have quite a few in this community.
Yeah, so they don't have to go to Sudbury, to
downtown,
the city center, to get their, you know, the things that they need to get done. So that's great. One other thing I think that is problematic right now is I live in Lively, so bus services are often the way they should be. And
but you can't do a taxi.
No, because you could, but it's very expensive. Yeah.
And should be very expensive.
Yeah.
It's very tough.
Mm-hmm.
But public transit should be more reliable, more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going the future of our communities? Will we see more of this? Do you think we will? We'll be forced to, perhaps.
We will have to. Yeah, that's just
smaller buses.
Yes.
More frequent service.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, and more into the smaller communities, because we are now at the city of Greater Sudbury, but really, you know, is that useful in a way to have, you know, those services that we need in the smaller communities? It really, for older adults, it was better before when they had their own, you know, their own
municipal government.
They could have all the services that they needed within
the. But since you mentioned the libraries as being a point of contact, isn't it nice you walk into the library, it's the same person you dealt with last time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same person you're going to deal with next time.
Yeah.
It's not a rotating number of people who are unfamiliar to you. They're they're like friends.
Yeah.
Hey, I went to see you last week about this problem, or last month, or I got my dog license, or all of us, and it's the same person.
Yeah.
Every community seems to have one of these centers. Dowling does.
That's very well done. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, you know, some people might look at the internet as being a negative thing. Some look at it as positive. Has that changed accessibility for older adults to get what they need?
And I think we don't give the older adults, especially baby boomers, we don't give them enough credit. I mean, they don't know how to use the internet.
Gosh.
I mean, you know, this is not going to be an issue at all, because that's how most of them, even in their last years of their career, had to work with computers and be, you know, connected. And many have devices that they use, iPads or their own phone, and know how to use the services.
We didn't know if we'd have time, and we thought we'd be at the end we'd do it, but it's a good jump right now. Healthcare. You know, we talk about the internet, you can talk to a healthcare professional using your device.
Yeah.
Has this improved people's quality of life?
I don't know.
I would suspect.
But I shouldn't say I don't know. I just heard, I was in a workshop last week, and they were talking about the positive impact that actually electronic counseling has, like, internet counseling for doctor's visits. So instead of actually talking to a person, to a physician, talking to something generated that is, you know, in a artificial intelligence or something like that.
Yes.
And they found that people were actually happier with the artificial intelligence than with the real physician, because it really could gear their responses to the person and to their, you know, to their needs.
I wouldn't have expected you to tell me this story.
I was actually also surprised, because it showed kind of the opposite of what I thought of. We need a personal contact, but it's not
always true. Do you have an option in this then? You haven't used this service, but I would hope there's an option. You get to a certain point, you go, this has been very helpful, but I would like to talk to a human at this point. Could you make that arrangement?
That would be a great
And AI. The AI mm-hmm. says, yes, could you please? Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking about how often, even with my own parents, there'd be an appointment. You'd go to the appointment. That meant driving and parking and for some, putting shoes on, which was far too much for my father. And then going on the elevator and then going into the waiting room and waiting and waiting and waiting. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you use a tablet or an iPhone, you can talk to somebody very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that's great, but it also can backfire if we say, okay, now you don't have to go anywhere anymore, because you can just sit in your chair
and,
lazy
do boy.
Anything.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So then we encourage frailty and people are not using what they have left and therefore become more frail much quicker.
Yes.
So sometimes having to go somewhere and having to do things out of your house are... It's useful because they have to.
Putting on a fresh shirt, putting on some fresh socks, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, all those things. But it's a challenge. It really is it's a struggle for some as we get along in time. And we've got a lawnmower going on in the background, so I may do a little filtering on this part. So folks, if the sound changes just a little bit, you'll know why. We are outside. We are in Lively. My guest, well, I'm actually her guest because I'm at her home. Birgit Pianozzi is a gerontologist, and she's been here in Sudbury for years and years and years.
27 years.
Mm-hmm. Very well respected. We first met. You were going to a conference or coming from a conference.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Long time ago, on an airplane. Are the challenges we're facing in Canada the same challenges that are being faced in other countries?
Yes, yes, for sure, 100%. So, of course, different levels, different, you know, there might be different priorities and the challenges maybe on different levels. I had a conversation last maybe 2 weeks ago with the professional in Germany who's a manager of many long-term care homes. It's a private organization, and we were talking about education, for instance. You know, we know that we don't have enough professionals in who are working with older adults.
Yes.
And that will, you know, we will see more and more of this becoming a problem, shortage, and that. So it's the same in Germany as well, and education is often one of the major issues that they experience, similar to Canada. So it's I think that we in many ways have the same problems, but we deal with the problems in different ways
Well, we're not funding some of this, but I'm going to, not as well as we perhaps should be, I'm going to just morph this a little bit in that when we talk about government, we didn't have really much awareness in government of the changes that were happening. Now, in this province, don't we have a minister of older
I think they call them seniors affairs
and many maybe. Ministries have somebody within that organization who is concerned about even the demographics of their organization. The human resource people are saying, well, how are we going to hire new people? What about all these people who are retiring?
Yes.
But I'm thinking about, do we have somebody in the federal government? We have a health minister, we have a defense minister, do we have a minister of older adults?
No, we don't, and we don't have. You
because
know,
we
I
should,
was
federal.
I was just reading two, you know, proposal to have advocacy like person that you know actually advocates for older adults for their needs, and not meaning they, you know, making decisions for them, but rather you know speak for them and
yes.
their and the needs that they have. And I think we really need something like that
mm.
to you know to combat ageism, to you know to recognize that older adults are. Contributing and able to do things, and not just I'm always very disappointed that we often just think about older adults in from a very negative perspective.
They're going to be a drain. They're drag,
yeah, you know, yeah. and they are frail, and they need this and they need that. And no,
no
that
they're
is not
tennis. They're no, riding horses.
Exactly, that is not the case. You know, we need to support them in their. Abilities
yes.
And really try to make use of them more in a positive way and encourage them to take part in governance and in you know in all kinds of things.
Not just
our
volunteer positions in
yeah,
many cases, but they can volunteer.
Yes.
You could do so much as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
You could open a whole new avenue of your life.
Yeah, but you can also work. You know,
you
and I mean older adults.
Full time or part time.
Yeah. If you find a job,
if
people, and we just had that conversation, if actually organizations are willing to offer jobs to older adults.
Well, we're not going
to
die.
See exactly.
We're not going to die tomorrow or in 18 months
yeah,
or 3 years.
Because a 65-year-old can live at least 20 years
I'm
longer.
Hoping,
and
I'm hoping, I'm hoping another quarter century
yeah.
myself. But and I'm sure for you as a woman, you're going to live far longer than I will,
mm-hmm.
Numerically anyways. Yes.
That's the hope. You want to outlive your husband.
Do you?
I hope so.
Okay. Well, yes. Yes. But so, yeah, what does the future bring for all of us? I mean, since you've touched now that on that topic, which is, you know, the changing relationships between people and amongst people, you know, your partner dies. What do you do? How do you cope with mm-hmm. that? What does it do for you in your community even? How do people mm-hmm. look at you? Do they look at you differently?
And, you know, that is, I mean, in Canada, we are not used to that having, you know, we know that women very likely will outlive their husbands.
7 to 12 years, whatever the number is.
You know, if they're married to a man, if they're, you know, they could be in relationships with a woman. They're lucky.
Yeah.
They might, you know,
both
age together.
Yeah, yes.
And so it depends on, you know, what your relationship is like. But women are, you know, will be the ones that outlive men. And that will not change, even though we see kind of a leveraging of, you know, older men are now, or men are also getting older. Because we don't have the really physical work that they used to do.
No.
So
and
that
we know
changes.
How to stay healthy, or at
yeah.
least some of us do.
So
anyways.
Men are becoming also, you know, more, you know, they're recognizing how to live a healthy life. And so that also changes.
In your research, I'm unaware, do we have rules and laws in place now that you're not forced into retirement?
Yes. So in Canada, you're not forced to retire. 65 is no longer a mandatory retirement age.
You can just keep going.
You can
if
keep
you
on
wish,
going.
If
yes.
you're having fun.
Yes.
If you
yeah.
desire to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know judges have to retire at 75.
So it depends on the work, on you know what your profession is.
Yes.
There are other kind of factors, and there might be
university emeritus professors. You, there's another opportunity for you. Well, in some cases, they probably don't pay you, but you know,
mm-hmm,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
so good. But
and I need a full-time job first as a professor that I don't have.
right. It's true. But, you know, we are here now in 2023. I'm wondering what 2030, 2040, 2050 will look like across this country. Will we see adaptations? I mean, I think back just 25 years ago to a truck stop, a refill station, and you'd go in and use the bathroom. There were no handrails. There were no push buttons to open doors.
Mm-hmm.
That we've transformed those things alone.
Mm-hmm.
What else are we going to transform? Are we going to transform education? are we going to go back to school?
I think the whole system, you know, our retirement, we just talked about retirement age. I mean, we have to rethink that. People will not, you know, go into retirement at age 60 or 65. It will be more people, really younger generations, want to have a balance between life and work. They will have times in between, like, you know, as a professor, as a full-time professor, you have the opportunity to take sabbaticals. And that will be, I think, more common in other environments as well, because people want to take time off to maybe spend more time with their children, spend time with their parents who are getting older, or just enjoy life in between and then go back to work and have an interrupted kind of work career. And then work till they're, you know, 75, 80. I think it really will change, because we are different, you know. Our lives are set in very different environments, and women will still be probably outliving men by a couple of years, and they will very likely live more together. That's how I see my own aging, if I'm lucky enough to get, you know, get old. And
once you reach a certain age, the likelihood is higher.
Yeah, you know, to live with other women and enjoy life and, you know, see what
comes. Will that mean a move into a city center? Will that mean a move closer to services?
For sure.
Will it? Yes.
At the moment, yes.
That'll transform our cities.
Yes, yeah. But unfortunately, right now there's not even opportunities.
No.
Like, where do you move? You know,
St. Andrew's Place used to be there, but you know, that's not the no, it's not a real option, and it's limited in terms of numbers. So does that mean we migrate from smaller cities to bigger cities, from bigger cities to metropolitan spaces? And we haven't even got into faith communities and any of those things, because these things are all part of our larger world. You know, as we approach the last few minutes, though, I'm going to ask you if, because we did touch on this briefly, if we as consumers are going to shift a lot of the things that are, like, I'm thinking about cars, and the buttons on in cars are so tiny, and they're not intuitive, and even my dishwasher and my oven, I have to bend down, I have to look at things. Why can't we do better?
I think education, and I mean,
but how are we going to influence these companies?
You know, gerontology. You know, we have gerontology programs, and we teach those kind of things.
Yes.
Students.
But do you actually say to companies, "I'm a gerontologist, I want to work for you"?
Do you have that in Europe already? That you know, in there are some in the States where they look at technology and how to improve technology.
Not just a panel.
No. There are actually companies that design things specifically for older adults, and we need more and more of those. Also in the car industry, you know, have gerontologists working there that, you know, show you, okay, you can change that.
Yes.
You know, it's not difficult to do.
I can't get my floor mats out. These things are so difficult.
Yes, yeah.
I have to search for the button. Why should it be a search? I know that there were kitchen wares that were changed. Good Ideas was one of the companies. You know, bigger handles. Smart.
The thing is, too, that when you change designs and you want to make them age-friendly, you're basically benefiting everybody.
Yes.
Because everybody can make use of that no matter what age they are. But we are more inclusive. So it's really the more inclusive design where we think about what is helpful for special populations, like older adults who might be frail. You know, how can we change the design so they can stay home independent for a longer period of time? And that is also beneficial for anybody else who might have arthritis or, you know, has difficulties walking or, you know, it's not just for older people.
I just love when you can use your phone and you can take a picture of something and then you can expand it so you can actually read the text or understand what's being said because it's so small, or QR codes. And I'm just thinking, we do. Talking to you uplifts me. You talk about possibilities. I've got that frown. You've turned the frown upside down. I want to say thank you to Birgit Pianozzi today for her thoughts about the future. And I'm sure this is not our last conversation. As I age, as she ages, as we all age, this is a topic that I don't think will ever stop. It will have to be explored year after year.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure, always.
Very nice.
Thank you.
you know, I really think we have to change our attitudes, how we behave within the family, outside of our family. And I think that I am, as a mother, responsible for teaching my children to go to the neighbor who's an older person and say, hey, do you need something? Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, already within the family, you know, we hear about families who don't visit their grandparents and they live in the same city, and even if they don't live in the same city, to go and see them at least once a year or twice a year, it's my responsibility as a family member and as a mother to say to my children, you have to do that, because when I get old, I want to see you. And, you know, if you don't teach that, this will not be normal. So, you know, I can't just tell other people to change. I have to be the change as well. And I have to show my children I'm going to visit relatives who are, you know, I go to
even ones you don't necessarily like.
Yeah, but I do. So I go and see my husband's aunt, who's 93, at least twice a week, and go there and have coffee or tea and talk. And, you know, even if it's just 20 minutes, it doesn't matter. But I'm the role model, showing my children that's what I want to see. And that's what we do. So if I don't do that, you know, how can my children, my children know that that's a normal thing, you know? So I think we really need to do that more and show others that that's how you want to live. And
shovel their driveway, shovel their steps.
Yeah.
Make sure that they're, you know, there's anything I can do for you.
Or ring the bell if you haven't seen them for a couple of days and see, you know,
what's going on.
Do you need anything? Can I help you? You know, do you want to come over for a meal?
I brought some jelly pigs from Lionel's Bakery to somebody. And, you know, they said, oh, my God, I can't eat those. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they do. Yeah. Or even I brought a thermos with already made tea or coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, because you don't want to... Maybe that's the thing in Canada. We don't want to put people out. Mm-hmm. We don't want to impose either. We don't want to... I mean, but you're absolutely right. We should knock on the neighbor's door and say, is everything okay? Just checking in. Or even taking their recycling or garbage to the street side, or bringing the containers back, especially on those days when it's slippery.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a mindset. I really think a mindset and how we raise our children, what we teach them in school and at university. I mean, it's never too late to also show compassion and passion for older adults. Like for me, that is
important. You're talking about intergenerational relationships.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Which I think in Canada was lacking in many cases, because we moved into these suburbs and it was just all, we were all the same.
Yeah, but also thinking about aging, that is not something to be feared, but something you can really, you know, for me, aging is, I want to learn from older adults. I love speaking to older people because they
coming to my house. Then.
Yeah, because they have, you know, they have wisdom. I mean, they have gone through this, you know.
Yes.
Why not listen to them for 5 minutes and just hear? You don't have to take their advice and you don't have to take everything, you know, word by word, but you can learn from them. And to see aging as an opportunity, for me, it's the positive.
They saved for the houses. They raised a family. They must know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of us really know what we're doing.
Yeah,
we just kind of just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
But, they weren't stupid.
Mm-hmm.
No. And many of them, like, well, not for you, but for my parents, came from another place and you know, established a new life. And, so they weren't stupid.
Mine had to establish a new life after the war.
War.
They lost everything. So.
My mother-in-law, the building she lives in, has... an elevator about this big. And you can't really take a shopping... You can take a shopping bag in it, but the neighbors will help bring things up. And it really does require you to have a son or daughter who cares, or grandchildren who care.
But there are also single older adults who don't have family, so we also need to think about them. And we have a lot of, you know, we have people from the LGBTQ community who might not have family.
That's true.
So, you know, so we need to look out for each other. And people live far away. Children live, you know, in other provinces or other countries. And you know, it's nice to know that somebody in a neighborhood is looking out for you, because I would want the same when I get old.
I'll come and ring your doorbell.
That's nice.